Christos Anastai, church family. If you look in your bulletin in the middle, you'll see it's written. Christos Anastai, which means what? Christ has risen. Why don't you turn to somebody near you and just say, Christos Anastai. Yes, that's Greek. Now you speak Greek. By the way, that's a greeting that the Christians used for many centuries. And I think it would be appropriate for us to use that occasionally, maybe all the time, to remind us that there is no hope in this world except through Jesus Christ. That's the good news of salvation, and that's the good news that I want to share with you this morning. Sidon was a leper who lived in India. And Phil Yancey tells his story in a book. And I'm going to just read a brief paragraph from that book for you this morning. Sidon was one of Dr. Paul Brand's former leprosy patients in India. And he looked like a miniature version of Gandhi, skinny, bald, perched cross-legged on the edge of the bed. In a high-pitched, sing-song voice, he told me retching stories of past rejection, the classmates who tormented him in school, the driver who kicked him, literally kicked him with his foot off the bus, the many employees who refused to hire him despite his training and talent, the hospitals that turned him away out of unwarranted fear. Sidon then recounted the elaborate sequence of medical procedures, tendon transfers, nerve strippings, toe amputations, cataract removals, all performed by Dr. Brand and his ophthalmologist wife. He spoke for half an hour, recounting a life that was a catalog of human suffering. But as we sipped our last cup of tea in his home, Sidon made his astonishing statement. Still, I must say that I am happy that I had this disease. What? Happy? I asked incredulously. Yes, replied Sidon. Apart from leprosy, I would have been a normal man with a normal family, chasing wealth and higher positions in society. I would never have known such wonderful people as Dr. Paul and Dr. Margaret. And I would never have known the God who lives in them. The God who lives in them. You don't have to be a rocket scientist or a genius to figure out what life is really all about. The examples of human suffering it's well cataloged, well documented throughout history and even today. You know, it amazes me how twisted the human mind at times can become. All you have to do is just turn on the television and watch the news for just a few moments. And it's interesting, we try so hard to find some way to blame or someone to blame when evil shows its ugly head. And often we vacillate between, well, did God allow it or did Satan do it? You ever thought that? And I'm sure today, you know, many people have wondered about the tragedies that are taking place in Japan. Tragedy on top of tragedy. And yet, every so often, we encounter a person or people who sweep aside the suffering in their own lives and say, it was worth it all because I have seen the invisible Christ. It's true. It's rare. Have you ever met someone like that? I have. I've been privileged to meet individuals like that in my life. It's unheard of. Yet, there it is, the very last line spoken by this suffering leper. Without leprosy, I would never have known the God who lives in them. Well, you know, here in America, we don't need to worry. Or we don't even need to ponder the invisible. We have it all right now. It's very visible all around us. We have everything that we need. It's around us. All we have to do is look, open our eyes, and observe. Wealth, safety, education, modern medicine, security, and oh, how we try to protect all of that. Salvation, if you might note, comes in many different forms. It comes through medication, supplication, evacuation, eradication, equal rights, economics, homes, property, bank accounts, and so on, etc., etc. But the truth is, there's an entire industry out there that rakes in millions, and it would like to convince you that salvation comes to you through religion. Interesting. The Apostle Paul is one of those individuals who, well, he counted suffering as a blessing. Turn with me, if you will, to Philippians. It's a little tiny book there. It's only a couple pages long. Philippians chapter 3. And this is the Apostle Paul, chapter 3, verse 7. This is the Apostle Paul speaking to us this morning. But, and listen carefully, see if you can identify with this. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him. I like that, in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that is which through faith in who? Christ. The righteousness that comes from God is by faith. I'll stop for just a moment there. The Apostle Paul was a man of great intellect, a man who enjoyed studying, a man who had degrees, a list of degrees. He was well respected among scholars. He was well respected among the religious community and the leaders in the religious community. He was a man of great zeal, a man who got the job done and made sure personally that it was done properly. And he, in this passage of Scripture in Philippians, says, I've given that all up. I've sacrificed all of that, so that I might know the Christ. I wonder how many of us would sacrifice and give all to know the Christ. You see, the Apostle Paul had been called by Christ. He'd been personally called to be an apostle, to share the good news of salvation. And so he set about the task of doing that, dedicated his entire life, gave up everything that he had so that he could find the Christ and share the good news of salvation. Let's go on a little bit further. In verse 10, he says, I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection. You know, I was reading this week this passage of Scripture, and I went through it several times, and I didn't see that until the last time I read it. The power of the resurrection. I want to know Christ and the power of the resurrection. As far as we know, Paul didn't witness the resurrection. In fact, very few did. The Roman soldiers are probably the only ones that, if they dared look, witnessed the Christ Jesus coming out of the tomb. You see, Paul knew that the resurrection was significant. He knew that it was significant in the sense that it was the final final act of salvation. Jesus died on the cross so that our sins could be forgiven. And he was laid in a tomb. And I'm sure that Satan was rejoicing when Jesus was in the tomb. He thought, just maybe I've been victorious. Maybe I'm the winner now. The Pharisees were gloating and patting themselves on the back, saying, well, we've got him now. He's dead. He's in a tomb. And just to make sure that somebody doesn't steal his body, we're going to put soldiers there. And all the religious leaders were now satisfied that they had silenced the voice that was causing them so much trouble. Jesus was lying in a tomb. Ah, but little did they know the power of God. Little did they know that on Sunday morning, Jesus would come forth victorious over death. Victorious. He would burst forth from the tomb, claiming for himself the victory over sin and death, and then passing that to us. I want to know Christ and the resurrection power. You can't contain it. You can't analyze that resurrection power. You can't certainly control it. The Romans had tried to do that. And you can't manipulate it. Because that's the invisible, the unbelievable, the incredible power that comes to us by the grace of God. We are saved by the resurrection of Jesus. So, here it is. Let me ask you the question. Do you want salvation? Think about it. Weigh it in your mind. There's something else that maybe you would rather have at this time or prefer to have in your life? Do you want to live forever? Think about it. We get so caught up in living now that sometimes forever something we'll put off. Some other time I'll think about forever. But right now I'm worried about my bank account. Right now I'm worried about my house and my car. And my kids are in school. I'm worried about the things of today. Don't make me think about tomorrow. Gotta think about tomorrow. We've got to think about tomorrow. Jesus did. He thought about it for you. He was willing to die on the cross. He was willing to lie in the tomb, and he came forth victorious for you. He didn't do it for himself. He did it for you and for me. We need to think about it. It's a tremendous, tremendous power. It's interesting that in verse 2, the same chapter of Philippians, Paul warns us of something. He says, watch out for those dogs. Those men, I'll add women, who do evil. Mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus. It's kind of interesting that Paul would start that chapter with a warning. In fact, he says it three times. He warns three times. Watch out for anyone. What he's saying here is, watch out for anyone who tries to add to the gospel. That's interesting, isn't it? That early in the Christian, in the history of Christendom, the Apostle Paul is already dealing with heresies. He's dealing not just with heresies, but he's dealing with subtleties in the preaching of the gospel that can lead people astray. Anything that is not centered in Jesus Christ, anything is not centered in the salvation brought through the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, is peripheral. It's not essential. It's peripheral. You know, I get into these discussions, and I'm getting less and less tolerant of them. And I think the Apostle Paul was too, if you read his writings. But there are all kinds of discussions people get into, and it's okay for us to discuss once in a while. But if you're discussing eternal life and salvation, you need to make sure you stay on the main point and don't get off into the peripherals. I had a conversation a couple months ago with somebody, not in this congregation, a conversation that the King James was the only true translation, the only real translation. So it's the King James and Jesus that saves us? Is that it? Or I had a conversation a number of years ago with a friend of mine, and his big emphasis was tongues, speaking in tongues. So is it tongues and Jesus that brings us salvation? Is it vegetarianism and Jesus that brings us salvation? Is it the feast days and Jesus that brings us salvation? Is it paying tithe and going to church plus Jesus that brings salvation? Is it Luther or Ellen White or Joel, you know, all these people that we see on television, Olstein, and Jesus that brings us salvation? Is it Pastor Munson and Jesus that brings you salvation? You see, Paul's really trying to point out how ridiculous it is. We as humans make these long lists. We make these hoops that we're supposed to jump through to become true Christians. If I read my Bible correctly, if I understand the gospel correctly, you cannot add anything to Jesus that will merit your salvation. Nothing. Nada. You cannot add anything. It's not this plus Jesus that saves you. It is only Jesus and Jesus alone that brings you salvation. I really want you to hear that this morning. Paul just hammers it all the time. That is like a bell that he rings all through his writings. It's Jesus and Jesus alone that brings salvation. We put no confidence in flesh, he says. So take out your pen. Write on that piece of paper there in your Bible. Write a resume. Write your resume for entering the kingdom. I dare you to do it. Write down all the things that qualify you so that you can add that to Jesus. Summa cum laude. Always successful in business. I'm a great dad, great mom. I guess I could add their preacher. Make a list. Write down all the things that you think qualify you for the kingdom. And then like Paul, count it as nothing. It's trash. By the way, I won't actually say the word. That word is actually translated not trash. It's something else that you use a shovel to scoop up. It is worthless. Everything that you can hold up to God and say, look at me. Look at what I've done. Look at all these things I've done. They are no good unless you acknowledge that it is only through Jesus Christ that you have salvation. And so, it's all meaningless. It's all smoke and mirrors when it comes to salvation. It's the surpassing greatness of knowing that Jesus Christ is my Lord. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. You can't trade it. It's a gift. It's a free gift to all who believe in Jesus Christ. There are no boundaries. There are no denominational lines. All who believe in Jesus Christ and claim Him as their Lord and Savior are saved. So make the choice. Maybe some of you haven't made that choice today. You can look at the list. You can look at your resume. And like Paul, you can say, well, it's all garbage. I'll throw it all away, throw it in the trash, take it out. Most of us don't like to see trash around once we've thrown it away, right? Some of us, you know, when we put the garbage away, we take it out to the curb. There's always some dog in the neighborhood, my dog would be one of them, that will try to get out at night, and they go around and they try to get stuff out of the garbage, right? And that's terribly unsightly. It's all over the front yard. It's all over the neighbor's yard. And it's all over the street. And they've made we don't like our garbage laying around, do we? When our garbage is thrown away, we want it thrown away. We want a new life in Jesus Christ. Paul says, I count all of that as garbage. Everything I was up to the moment I met Jesus Christ, it's all just nothing. It's garbage because Christ is all I need to know. Christ and Him crucified. Eugene Peterson, who is the author of a number of books, he's a wonderful writer, a wonderful man. I met him one time. He was a dean of a seminary up in the Northwest at one time. And he also helped to translate the Message Bible. Those of you that have a Message Bible, it's a wonderful translation, by the way. It's a very, very, very good translation. He says this, and I think he says makes the point so clear. The resurrection of Jesus creates and makes available the reality in which we are formed as new creatures in Christ by the Holy Spirit. The do-it-yourself, self-help culture of North America has so thoroughly permeated our imagination that we don't give much sustaining attention to the biggest thing of all, the resurrection. And the reason we don't give much attention to it is because the resurrection is not something we can use or manipulate or control or improve. You can't mess with it. Oh, sure, there are people that doubt that Jesus was resurrected. There are people that try to prove which tomb he was in. I don't know if it's that one. There's several. They claim that it was the tomb of Jesus. There are scientists that are digging around, still trying to find his tomb, hoping that maybe they'll find some bones in there, or a mummy like they find the pharaohs. But the fact is that Jesus is a risen Lord. The emphasis on risen. He's not laying in some tomb in the Middle East, in Jerusalem. He's not some mummy in a glass case in some museum in the Middle East. He is in heaven, okay, at the right hand of the Father. And that's good news, by the way, because your best friend is in heaven. And he loves you and he wants to take you with him. Do you hear the call? He's calling you today. He is the resurrected Lord. He is our salvation in full, not partial. You know, some people believe this partial salvation thing. I accept Jesus, but I got to do this and this and this and this, and then maybe He will like me. Or, well, I got to make sure I keep this checklist, because if I keep this checklist, then maybe He'll love me more, and then He'll want me to come to heaven. That's called partial salvation. Jesus Christ died while we were good people. Is that what the Bible says? Jesus died while we were yet sinners in our sin. He died for us so that we could receive His righteousness, so that we could have hope of eternal life. That's the good news of the gospel. The bottom line is this. If you want to know Christ, if you want to be in Christ, if you want a righteousness that comes from someplace other than the law, the only place to find it is in faith in Christ Jesus. Huh? It's the only place you're going to find it. Oh, I know. We like to work. Those of you that like to work, probably all of you. That's the American way, right? At least it was. I hope it still is. If you like to work, here's how you can work. Very simple. Have faith. Have faith. Because it's that faith relationship with Jesus Christ that changes your heart. You see? It's not my works plus Jesus that saves me. It's my faith plus Jesus that saves me. I know that sounds simple. Yeah, it is. It's so simple that a child can understand it. We're the ones that like to make it difficult. We like to add and add and add and add and add and add. We have lists of things that we need to make sure we adhere to. But right at the very center of all of this is Christ Jesus. And Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw what? All men, not just the good ones, all men to me. The resurrection power is drawing us to Jesus. And Jesus is the resurrection, and He is the life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Think about it. Sidon would have never gotten to know the risen Lord if the risen Lord had not been living through Dr. Branham. Your neighbors, your friends, your fellow employees, those people you come in contact will never know. Some of them will never know the risen Jesus unless they see it in you. People thought Paul was a madman. I imagine if this happened to one of us today, some of us would wonder. Paul threw it all away. His career, his status, his power, his religion. He gave it all up. His money, his friends, his family, he threw it all away so that he could follow the invisible Christ. That's no different than you or I. Throw it all away. Give it all up. Give it up so that you might see the invisible Christ. Give it up so that others might see the invisible Christ in you. That is the resurrection power.